This is Pastor Rock Dilliman. Our readings this week come from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, which, as you know, comes immediately before the book of 2 Samuel. How's that for a piece of deep biblical insight? I love reading and studying books like 1 Samuel because they're chock full of dramatic, emotion-ridden stories that illustrate in real-life situations what God is up to in the world and what God is up to in us. Your readings this week review the establishment of a king in the nation of Israel. Remember, prior to the inauguration of Saul, Israel was unlike the other nations. Other nations had kings, emperors, pharaohs, but Israel was governed by God, who revealed his will through his prophets. They didn't realize how good they had it. They were privileged to live under a benevolent, wise, all-knowing, and all-powerful monarch. And what did they do? They said, "Nah, we want a human to rule over us like the other nations." Now, I know this doesn't have to do directly with the Holy Spirit, but indirectly, it reminds us that the Holy Spirit steps into our life to put us under the benevolent, powerful, all-wise rule of God. And when we reject the work and the testimony and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we opt to put ourselves under human influences and to allow human thinking and human reason and human culture to guide our steps rather than being under the rule of God. And I just want to remind you of the timeliness of Scripture. When Samuel told the people what to expect from a king, wow, it reads like today's headlines. He said, if you have a human king, he'll tax you, he'll take a portion of your produce and your profits, he'll make your people servants, and he'll recruit your sons and send them off to war. And that's what kings have been doing for centuries. Well, let's get to the passages that deal more directly with the Holy Spirit. And the first is found in chapter 10. There in verse 6, we read that Samuel told Saul, who was destined to be the first king of Israel, that the Spirit of the Lord would come upon him mightily, that he would prophesy with those who were already prophets, and he would be changed into another man. Now, let's back up just a little bit before I unpack that. How did Saul come to the place where he crossed paths with Samuel and received his future marching orders? Well, if you read this week's readings, you'll know that some of the family donkeys wandered off. You have to wonder who is responsible for tying them up and watching them. But anyhow, they wandered off, and Saul and some others were sent out to find the lost donkeys. And God used those lost donkeys to bring Saul across the path of Samuel so that he could be anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the first king, human king, over the nation of Israel. The Spirit used lost donkeys, an inconvenience, a problem, something Saul and others grumbled over and murmured about, to introduce Saul to God's plans for his life. And I emphasize that because if you're going to be sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit, you have to be willing to think outside of the box. You have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to use some of the most unusual means and to lead you down some of the most unlikely paths in order to arrive at his will for your life. Many times, the things that we murmur about, grumble about, use harsh language about, may just be God nudging us towards our calling, towards our next assignment. So when things aren't going as planned, rather than immediately rushing to God and saying, "Help, God, this is ugly, fix this," it might be wise to say, "God, this is ugly, and I'd like to see it fixed, but I need to know, are you in this? Are you using this apparent setback as a setup for what you want to do in my life?" If you ask God, he'll tell you. And if he says no, then pray for deliverance. But if he says yes, then look for revelation. So, because of lost donkeys, Saul encounters Samuel. And our verse, let's unpack it. He said, "The Spirit will come upon you, because no one is fit to lead in God's kingdom without the empowering of the Holy Spirit. If you attempt to practice leadership in the household of God without the anointing and empowering of the Holy Spirit, you're going to make a colossal mistake and you're going to produce huge problems. Never begin to lead until you are under the leading of the Holy Spirit. Samuel said, "When the Spirit comes, you'll prophesy with others." I want to remind you that to prophesy can either mean forthtelling of God's word or foretelling the future. We're not told what kind of prophesying Saul did after the Spirit came upon him. We just know he joined other prophets in prophesying. But the thing I want to focus on primarily is that third piece, "And you will be changed into another man." That prophecy from Samuel was confirmed because shortly thereafter, Saul met other prophets, he prophesied among them, and we read in verse 11 that when people saw Saul prophesying with the prophets, the people said to one another, "What has happened to the son of Kish? Is Saul also among the prophets?" The point, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will be a different person. You won't look any different in the mirror. You won't look differently to others as they look at you through the human eye. But you will be a changed person. And you'll be changed in such significant ways that other people will take note of the changes. And isn't that logical? If God takes up residence in you through his Holy Spirit, God is going to begin to make changes. Here's a rather crude, but I think apt analogy. My wife likes to watch HGTV. She enjoys the Property Brothers and Fixer Upper programs and all the rest. She enjoys watching skilled people move into a residence and redesign it so that it fits the needs and the tastes of the new owners, or so that it is more marketable. Well, when God moves into your heart, He wants to transform it. He wants to do some renovations. He wants to tear out the old cabinetry. He wants to remove some walls and expand some rooms. He wants to repaint. He wants to redecorate. And the Holy Spirit is tasked with that. The Holy Spirit is the general contractor in God's remodeling project of your life. So whenever the Holy Spirit is upon us, we are going to be changed. And we ought to be able to see those changes, and others ought to be able to see them as well. The other reference, direct reference to the Holy Spirit this week, is found in chapter 11, verse 6. The people of Israel were being threatened by the Ammonites, and God wanted Saul to lead the warriors of Israel against them. So verse 6 says, the Spirit of God came upon Saul mightily when he heard of what the Ammonites were planning to do, and it was horrific, and he became very angry. Have you ever heard the phrase or the term righteous anger? It's a biblical term. God never said, don't ever be angry. God said, be angry, but without sin. The truth is, when the Holy Spirit is at work in your life, there ought to be things that make you furious, things that make you very, very angry. Injustice, inhumanity, unnecessary suffering, human tragedy, human deprivation, the blaspheming of the Messiah, the mockery of God's truth, the attempts of God's enemies to destroy His people. Those things should make you, as my dad used to say, hoppin' mad. That's righteous indignation. There's a great difference between righteous indignation and sinful anger. Sinful anger is anger that is generated by our wounded pride or by our selfishness not having its demands met. Righteous anger is anger over things that blaspheme God and things that devastate people's lives. When the Spirit came upon Saul, he was angry, and he went to war. And when the Spirit is leading you, you will be angry, not apathetic, not indifferent, but angry over the effects of sin in the world, and you will want to go to war to see the purposes of God accomplished. So that's this week's lessons. You have a great week following the Spirit as He remodels your heart and as He sometimes makes you angry over sin. God bless you.